Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. I was kind of, someone needed to volunteer, and I guess everybody stepped backwards, and I was still standing there, so. Oh, you're quite welcome. Zach is not feeling well tonight, so. You might want to put that on your list, too. Acts chapter 10, I was reading this morning, and then I thought, oh, well, maybe we can just take a look here. I'm kind of thinking in big terms here, big chunks of time. Covenantal distinctions. And I think, oh, where's this guy going now? Look at Acts chapter 10. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. So what is Cornelius? What's his ethnicity? What's his ethnic background? He's a Gentile. Now, at this time, when this is happening, how many books of Scripture do they have? There you go. So he is under what covenant? Covenantal distinctions, and he is under the Abrahamic covenant. The time period is under, now Mark says none, but you'll notice what he is doing here. He's a devout man, he's a Gentile, and he is one of the God-fearers. So he's a Gentile who fears God. Is he a Jew? Nope. Has he identified himself as a Jew? Probably not. But yet he is in some way or another, even as Paul would describe it there in just a few chapters later, when they go to in Antioch and Pisidia, chapter 13, verse 16, Paul stood up and motioning with his hand said, "Men of Israel," and what would that be? Jew. "Men of Israel, the God of this people, and you who fear God." So those were Gentiles who were identified as God-fearers who were also there in the synagogue. So at this time, all these people, that guy, Cornelius, they are under the covenant of Abraham, and what else? What other covenant? Sinaitic, Mosaic, Moab, those covenants that had been enacted by Moses back there in Exodus and Deuteronomy, okay? So when you think about covenants, God's covenant with Abraham, where do you normally go? Genesis. Okay, that's a good start. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, that's when God calls Abram, and so he leaves and he obeys. And then in Genesis 15, God repeats and gives greater info on the covenant, right? And Abraham does what? What's the response that Abraham has? And Paul will use Abraham as an ideal. He believes. So, Mark, are you the shell answer man tonight? Everybody's quiet. Abraham believes, and he is what? It is credited to him as righteousness. There you go. So that's in Genesis 15. So what covenant is he operating under? His own covenant that God has entered into, right? Genesis 22, what happens there? He is ready to do what with his son? Sacrifice. And what takes place? God basically provides the lamb, right? So he repeats the covenant. He strengthens the blessing to Abraham. Abraham dies, and Isaac is what? In Genesis 26, God repeats the covenant with Isaac. What happens after Isaac dies? God repeats the covenant with whom? Jacob. So who are the patriarchs? That's a gimme. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they're all functioning under what covenant? Abrahamic covenant. What takes place after all these guys die and then the first part of Exodus, and that's what we're going to study starting in the fall. Exodus, what happens? God rescues. They're in Egypt for 400 and some years. They reproduce like rabbits, and there's all sorts of Israelites all over the place. In fact, it's very fearful for Pharaoh. What covenant is Israel under at that time? Abrahamic covenant. Thank you. When they leave and when they go to Horeb and they enter into covenant, you'll find that in Exodus 19, Exodus 34, and then Exodus or Deuteronomy. So all this is going on, and the covenants that God enters into, He enters into because of the Abrahamic covenant, right? Yes, that's right. Because of the Abrahamic covenant. They are God's people. Why? Because God has chosen them and he has entered into covenant with Abraham. So the covenantal distinctions are for whom? Only the people of the covenant, and that is the Jewish people. So when we come here to Romans or to Acts chapter 10, you have Cornelius, you have all this going on. Has the new covenant been enacted? Thank you, Michael. Yes, absolutely. Who made the covenant? The Lord Jesus himself. Did you make covenant with God? Absolutely not. We are recipients of God's blessing. But we did not enter into that new covenant to make it. Our blood was not shed. That new covenant was made by Jesus with the Father. Okay? So does Cornelius know about that covenant? Probably not. That's why Peter is going to do what he does. Okay? So these are covenantal distinctions that as I was just kind of, my brain was going, well, different rabbit trails. But you have all this going on, and you go about here in chapter 10, verse 3. The ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius, and he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now send to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. Now, I have a question. Why didn't the angel just go ahead and tell him about the gospel?
Believers following Jesus, not they themselves, they weren't appointed to that.
I think you're onto something there. Angels aren't redeemed. They do not enter into redemption. Only humanity enters into redemption. God the Son never identifies with whom. He never took upon himself angelic being. He took them and he never redeemed the fallen angels. They are unredeemed. God the Son takes upon himself humanity. So here is this angelic messenger. Who bears the gospel witness? Not angels. We do. We're the ones who bear the gospel witness. We're the ones who are redeemed. Angels are not. Now, this angel goes and tells Cornelius what to do. He says, go send for Simon at one lodging at Simon the Tanner at the house by the sea and ask for this man called Peter. When all this had taken place, he does this. Next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop. What does Peter have? What does God give Peter?
A vision of clean and unclean.
That's right. And as a good Jew, what does Peter say?
So.
Yeah, I'm not about to eat any of that. That's garbage. But then all of a sudden, he figures out what's going on. These men from sent by Cornelius come and talk to Peter. And they say, behold, three men are looking for you there in verse 19. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. Now, who's speaking there? It's the Holy Spirit speaking to Peter. Says exactly what you're supposed to do, Peter. No angel talks to him here. It's the Spirit of God. Rise and go down and accompany them. Peter did that. He speaks to them. The next day he rose and went with them. And they come down to Caesarea. And in verse 24, Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, I stand up, I too am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. Under what covenant was that true? What's that? The Sinai covenant, Mosaic covenant, whatever you want to call it, back there in Exodus and Deuteronomy, there is an absolute distinction made between the Jews and all the other nations.
God here, not circumcised.
Probably not. So you have these people, you have Cornelius here, and he is a God-fearer. We'll put him in kind of that category. Because as you see back here, he feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people, prayed continually to God. So he was in a certain status that he still needed to hear what?
The gospel.
That's right. He needed to hear about the new covenant. He is in desperate need of the new covenant, covenant distinctions, because now we have moved into the time period of the new covenant. So here, Peter goes there, he stands and he says, hey, you yourselves know that as a Jew, I'm not supposed to even be here. Go on down in this chapter. He said, God has shown to me that I should not call any person common or unclean. Distinctions are now being set aside. The Jewish distinction is no longer valid. Okay? So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked them why you sent for me. And then Cornelius repeats what has taken place. So Peter, in verse 34, Peter opens his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, not just Jew, who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ." So that has to be preached. In verse 42, the Lord Jesus commanded us to preach to the people, to testify that the Lord Jesus is the one appointed to God, appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets, the 39 Old Testament, or what we would call Old Testament, the 39 scriptures that Jesus read, okay? The 39 books that were the scriptures for the Lord Jesus. They're the ones who bear witness. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. What happens? So here all this is going on. What takes place? While Peter was still saying these things, what happens? So there's almost like another what? Pentecost. Sure. There's almost like another Pentecost that takes place here. And for whom is it now being poured out? For Gentiles. You find yourself here? I mean, I'm serious. This is why we're here. God has opened this up. Do you think you deserve it? I'm pretty nice guy. I like me. Thank you, dear. You like me. Well, why doesn't God like me? You know? I mean, this is kind of goofy, but so we get so tied up with ourselves, and yet the only reason this is reality is because God has planned this. The covenantal distinctions are no longer valid as far as ethnicity. Right? What were distinctions before the new covenant? You had, if you were a Gentile and you wanted to do some sort of practice of Judaism, you had to fall right in line. And in fact, if you were a Gentile, from what I can understand, there were certain things that I don't care how good you were in your Judaism, you were still exempt from. So you had to be a little cautious even then. The distinctions that were being made. So here, Peter does all this. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed. Why? Because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. They still had a mindset that said the distinctions would still be there. The barriers were still there. But God was breaking down the barriers. And the reason why we get to do this is God broke down the barriers. Because the new covenant breaks barriers. The barriers that were there, back there in the old, we'll use the terminology, old covenant. Those distinctions are now being broken down, and the new covenant is coming to bear. And that's where we are at. We are recipients of all the blessings of the new covenant. Do we deserve it? Absolutely not. Is it for the Jews? Absolutely, yes. Is it for the Gentile? Amazingly, yes. Now, to show some of those distinctions, how about going to Romans chapter 9? Romans Romans chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. Now, Paul wrote this. So what is Paul? He's a Jew. Was he a pretty good Jew? You couldn't get much better than Paul. What's that? Yes, he is. Just ask him. He says, I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. What's his problem? What's Paul's problem? The vast majority of his kinsmen. Go ahead, Mark.
Unbelief in the Jews.
That's right. The vast majority of the Jewish people did not accept. He himself was an unbeliever until he had an encounter. And that encounter certainly changed his life. So these distinctions, he says, I wish I could be accursed so that my kinsmen would be born again. He says, they are Israelites. To them belong the adoption. God has adopted them. The glory. What glory? Probably the Shekinah glory there in the tabernacle, the temple. The covenants. What covenants? We rehearsed that. Abraham. The Mosaic Covenant, both there in Sinai and Horeb, or at Horeb and Moab, I think it is. And what other covenant? Davidic Covenant, absolutely. That's very important. So the Jewish people, these covenants are theirs. The giving of the law, the worship, the promises, to them belong the patriarchs. From their race, according to the flesh, is who? The Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Is Jesus a Jew? He sure is. Notice I use is, not was. I think he still looks like a Jew. I think his Jewishness is right there, seated at the right hand of the Father. He never divests himself of his humanity. And while he walked on earth, his humanity was what? Who was his mama? Was she a Jewess? Sure. So the relationship, the identification, the connection. So here's Paul praying for these people. Notice in Ephesians chapter 2. Notice what he says here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time a lovers of God, and God loved you so much, right? And you were connected. No, you were not. Separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, we were just full of hope, were we not? Absolutely no hope. And without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, all those things are negated. For he has brought us near. Romans chapter 3 speaks about this. The need for the Lord Jesus himself. And notice, at this time, beginning at verse 9, what then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all, for we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. So no matter how good you were as a Jew back there with your distinctive covenants, did that negate your sinfulness? No. What negated your sinfulness? You had to be just like your father Abraham. And who was he? He was a believer in what God had said. He's a believer in God. So as you go through this, you see how bad off mankind is. You go here to verse 20, "For by the works of the law no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe." For there is no distinction. No distinction between Jew and Gentile. All of us are sinners. And since there is no distinction, Cornelius needed the new covenant. And that was being displayed to him. And all of his household needed the new covenant. How about us today? We need the new covenant. And how about the Jews of today? They're in desperate need of the new covenant too. So what are the covenantal distinctions today? The ethnicity is all blurred. In fact, the Lord Jesus said what? Go into Judea, Samaria, and where else? The uttermost parts of the world. And that's what you see in Acts chapter 10, even though it wasn't very far. He did exactly what God had instructed him to do, to go to this Cornelius's house and speak the gospel to him. The gospel goes out. No distinctions now, nor ethnicity, that only the Jews could get this. We now, that's why I don't see any Jews with us tonight. Maybe you are, I don't know. But more than likely, we're all Westerners and we are not related to Abraham in that sense. But we are because of faith in the Lord Jesus. We need to be very thankful for what he has done, what he has opened up to us, and what he has blessed us with in the relationship there.